The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Online, foxsportsknoxville.com, and your free Fan Run app. Russian scientists.
What the hell are they up to now over there? I don't trust a Russian scientist right now, Russ.
They've found the furry head of an Ice Age wolf perfectly preserved in Siberian permafrost.
Oh, my God.
What? They need to clone it.
40,000 years old. And it looks like if you left your dog outside in like a 20 degree below.
It froze.
It looks perfectly intact. 40,000 years old, Bear. How does that strike you? This creature roamed the earth during the last ice age.
Can they figure out how big it was?
What do you mean how big it was? They've got it. It's there.
I thought you said just the head. They got the whole thing?
Well, I mean, you can pretty much, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Can they extrapolate out
how big this thing was? Yeah, you've seen Jurassic Park. They take its DNA and they can like put it in a computer and have a whole big model.
Like actually have clone a model. That thing.
Yeah, you could probably make
like
another
Dolly
one.
Dolly the sheep.
There you go.
Looked like something out of Game of Thrones.
It did. It looked like Ghost.
Did it? Was it white?
Yes.
At one point.
That would be just badass to have like a big dire wolf at your house.
You'd mount that somewhere?
No. I'd have it out, clone it, and have it out running in the backyard. Nobody'd ever break into your
house.
Can
you really do that? Can they like suck out the DNA and make another one?
Yeah.
Really?
Google Dolly the sheep. That's how they did that.
But they had another sheep. This is like, I don't know. Maybe
they'd insert it in like a northern
wolf. But
we can't
do it with extinct animals, can we?
We can if we have their DNA, I'm fairly certain.
So if there's like some dodo bird DNA or some what if Jurassic Park happened? We've got dino DNA in the amber. Remember the amber? Can we go in there and get it and create dinosaurs?
Who's to say it hasn't happened already, Russ?
I'm pretty sure somebody can say definitively. I'm pretty sure there's somebody out there with a, you know, cursory understanding of actual stuff, science stuff.
That listens to our show?
That's listening to us right now and thinking, these guys are the biggest idiots I've ever heard in my entire life.
No idea.
What an idiot.
No idea.
I think they could clone this thing. If they could, would you want one?
Would I want one? What, like as a pet?
Yeah.
No, this is something you go to the petting zoo for. Like, this is something you go to the Gulfport petting zoo to see.
Yes, Bear. I want a pet wolf to let roam at Stately Smith Manor so that the kids can get on their hands and knees and play with it. What kind of idiotic question is that?
Certainly not.
You wouldn't have a groundhog problem. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to combat that groundhog problem?
Also, wouldn't have children or my right hand, probably.
All right, I'm going to feed you now. Yeah. Back up.
What do you feed a 40,000-year-old wolf?
I imagine, you know, I would imagine he was a meat eater. Maybe a woolly mammoth.
Got any neighbors you don't like?
Valery Plotnikov.
Sounds about right.
A top researcher at the local branch of the Russian Academy of Sciences said the animal belonged to an ancient subspecies of wolf that lived at the same time as the mammoths became extinct alongside them. Scientists said it was an adult about 25% bigger than today's wolves, did not say whether it was male or female.
25% bigger.
Plotnikov called the discovery unique because scientists previously only had found wolf skulls without tissues or fur, while this head has ears, a tongue, and a perfectly preserved brain.
Yeah, they can clone that thing.
Oh, my gosh.
About that?
That is some deep stuff.
Now, here's the flip side of it.
We're screwed.
Is, you know what, Trey? We are screwed.
Yep.
Because what's the downside of this whole story, Russ? Have you picked it out yet?
The Russians have it?
No.
We're going to turn it an army of super wolves?
The Siberian permafrost is melting. That's why they're finding stuff like this now.
It's melting.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with that? We find all these cool
stuff. Look up permafrost and methane.
Good. Side benefits of global warming. We find all this cool stuff that's buried under the Russian permafrost.
Until the methane gets released into the air.
Don't worry about that.
Then what
the
happens?
Climate change.
Find it just gets really hotter.
I mean, nobody really knows. It's never happened. We're not in.
Not with human activity.
With human beings, yeah.
St. Louis Blues winning their first ever Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic myself.
The police scanner was
classless.
Great last
Boston
night.
People booing.
I think the worst of first story. It is pretty amazing that they were the worst team in professional hockey. Not a bad team. Didn't make the playoffs. They were the worst team in professional hockey in the NHL last year.
They were
and
the
a year
worst
later,
team in
they're
January.
Hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup.
Give Tennessee fans hope, doesn't it?
It can't hurt.
They some guy put down. I don't understand how he did it.
400.
He put down $400 bucks, and he won like a house. I guess.
Yeah, why not? $400. He won $100,000 for a $400 bet.
I mean, how the hell do you do that?
He said he was sitting at the casino and he was like, I can either lose this on the tables or I'll just bet on my favorite team.
Yeah. I mean, it was a long shot, but long shots sometimes pay off.
Good for him.
No, I think that's got to give you some, hate to turn everything back into a Tennessee-centric issue, but Tennessee was not as bad in college football as the St. Louis Blues were in hockey last year. And the St. Louis Blues won it all. Now, I'm not saying we're going to win it all. I'm not even saying we're going to win the SEC. I'm not even saying we're going to win the SEC East. But it's got to give you hope that we can at least be competitive, right?
Well,
thank
sure,
you,
but
professional
I think
that
hockey. Right? Hey, man, I'm looking for hope wherever we can get it.
It floats.
Thank you, St. Louis Blues. I love watching the trophy thing. I watch, I don't watch a ton of hockey. I'm not a hockey expert, but pretty much every season,
trophy.
I will watch the end when the cup, when it ends. I love it when the two guys in the white gloves come out. First of all, I love the tradition of hockey's the meanest sport with the toughest dudes. We're going to beat the crap out of, we legit hate each other. And then as soon as it's over, you see the team, they throw their stuff up in the air. They celebrate for 5-10 minutes while the other team just sits there devastated.
In front of the opposing fans is better.
Yeah, just the other team's taking a knee. These grown men with one eyeball named Igor are just bawling their eyes, or in that case, eye out. And you just sit there watching the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat on the same surface.
Teeth missing.
So if you're on the team, would you rather win it at the opposing teams?
No, you want to win it at home. But then they have that handshake, right? That handshake that's cool, man. I don't know what it is about that.
It's because they're on skates.
No, it's because they're on skates. Yeah, it's supreme sportsmanship, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to lay it all on the line. I'm going to hate your guts. I would, slash your mother across the face with this hockey stick to get that cup. But when the game's over and it's done, I'm going to look you in the eye and shake your hand like a man.
For 7 games, they absolutely killed each other. Right after?
And they do that in every playoff series.
After everyone's done. And the cool thing about the Blues, not a single player on their roster had ever won a Stanley Cup before.
Really?
Think about that. That's pretty hard.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. And then cars are being flipped last night. Things are being set on fire in St. Louis. It was fantastic.
I've been happy enough for them. They can go to hell now. The Preds lost. I hate them.
That's a mature way to look at it, Bear. NBA Finals tonight, Game 6. Tonight is the last game ever at Oracle Arena. Were you guys aware of that? The Oracle.
Yes.
Yeah,
thing of the past.
The Golden State Warriors are moving to San Francisco. What did you think about the O-Town? I didn't like that. Them wearing the O-Town uniforms in the finals. I feel like if it's the finals, you should wear your traditional uniform.
It's a very old-fashioned take from you, Bear. Not very surprising. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but it's one of those things
you
where
you should wear alternates in the finals, the championship of
the NBA. Out of all like the four major professional sporting leagues in this country, the NBA, more so than anybody else, and there's not a close second, has left tradition behind. And as a matter of fact, like in some ways, you know, that league and its fans get off on bucking tradition and carving out a new path.
It's a cool-looking jersey.
Sure. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, I remember when the Celtics came out in, like, their black uniforms, like, 10 years ago.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I remember, like, being, clutching my pearls and everything. I've given up on, like, trying to enjoy tradition in the NBA. Like, those words don't go together.
Yeah, well, it's not about it anymore.
I'm just not big on alternate uniforms, that's all.
That's the one thing to hold you back?
With the NBA?
Yeah.
No. Tip of the iceberg, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I mean, the 4, 5, 7 steps they get to take with the ball in their hand.
That's true.
It's just not that brand of basketball does not excite me to watch it.
And I don't like the music that's played.
Oh, I don't care about it. Come to grips with that.
Play. I know that. But you got church organs going.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
But I mean, that's like hockey and baseball and football, for that matter. All four major sports. I mean, they're constantly. It's in college. I mean, you see it when you go over to UT. That's what shocked me the most. I was like, "What the hell's going on?"
Yeah, but they don't have a mixtape going during each play.
It feels like I'm in a rave or something.
Got it. Yeah, you got to connect with the youth. Got to get those young. Got to get the millennials in there. No, I was watching to think about the new arena in San Francisco. Have you seen? I think it's Chase Arena or something like that.
Woo! Some money.
Place is nice.
We spent it. They had
place
to.
Place is nice.
Good for them.
So the last game ever at the Oracle tonight. What do we think? Are we feeling a game 7, or do you think the Raptors come out and finish them off tonight?
I just think the Warriors are going to come out in the first half, balls to the wall. Because of Durant, and then it's going to kind of fade off. And if Toronto can hang in there at halftime, they'll take it in the second half.
It feels like it could go one of either two directions, right? Either what Trey's saying, they come out and just, you know, with a heart of fire and play their best game. Or I wonder if all this stuff is a distraction.
For them?
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Raptors, the consummate blue-collar work ethic type team, they're just – you know, they've been licking their chops. They come out there and just play the most efficient game they possibly can.
Yeah.
And they need to do what they did last time in Oakland, which is, you know, run away from these guys in the fourth quarter.
Well, they got it out to like around 14 points, and they just rope-a-doped them from there. I mean, they just grinded them out, ground out the win.
I just think tonight is it's setting up for Toronto. Like, right, it sets up for Toronto to kind of win this thing. They give it up at home. Without Durant, go to Oakland now. Take care of business. Get yourself a big game from Lowry.
Yeah, I don't know what to think, man. I could see. Well, I would hope it's going to be a good game, man. This has been a really good series, and I think it's worthy of a game 7. So we'll see what happens.
If it goes to 7, I don't see any way the Raptors win.
Really?
Yeah.
On their home court with a depleted Warrior roster?
Nah. Warriors been there, done that. I could see him taking it.
With Drizzy?
Yeah.
Does he know who Drizzy is?
I don't know who Drizzy is. Drake. Is that Drake? Yeah. Okay.
Drake? Does he play for the Raptors?
You don't know who Drake is?
He's some muscle bound dude with a bunch of tats that sits.
You don't know who Drake is? Really? I mean, I'm the lamest dude sitting in here by a long shot, and I know who Drake is.
Agreed on that.
You don't know who Drake is. Like, really?
I've heard his name.
Do you know how many points per game he averages? Yeah.
Do you know where he went to college?
No.
He was a big recruit.
Yeah. You don't remember Drake? When he played for Kentucky?
He went to Degrassi high school.
I know all those idiots that came from from Kentucky. He's
you don't remember Kentucky Drake guy. When he played at Kentucky, Barry.
No.
His high school was Degrassi.
I know the dude's from Canada.
Yeah, he went to Canada.
He went from Canada. No, he was Cal's first international recruit.
You can't pull that crap on me. I know he's from Canada, Russ.
Right, and he went to Degrassi High School.
Barry tried to pretend like he doesn't know what Drake is. That was funny for a second, though. That was funny for a second. By the way, Bears U.S. Open leaderboard scoreboard update center coming up here in just a moment. But first, Tennessee gets a commitment yesterday. We've got recruiting news. Tennessee gets a commitment.
I love Tennessee.
Jenkins from Ocoee, Florida, a three-star cornerback. Also had offers from Notre Dame, Louisville, and Pittsburgh. He camped at Tennessee. This is kind of becoming a theme with Jeremy Pruitt.
These are going down?
Huh?
You see how these are going down? These kids are coming in, they're camping for the day, and they're committing while they're on campus.
I mean, it's happened a couple times last year. Roman Harrison,
yep,
famously was a camp offer. I think Kingston Harris a couple of years ago.
Fulmer was a camp offer guy. People forget that.
Well, it's just different now because back in those days, you didn't get that offer until, you know, sometimes in your senior season. And nowadays, like, Pruitt and these guys, they want to see him camp like as early as freshman. So we took a commitment from a freaking eighth grader the last weekend. So, like, you want to see these guys, and it's like they start to develop. It's almost like they're a surrogate high school coach for them. So I would imagine that, like, Pruitt has been following this kid for a while. He is not very highly touted. He's 6 foot tall, long kid from Florida. And obviously Pruitt saw something he liked, and all of a sudden, you know, with him, Art Green, the safety we took from Illinois this past weekend, like those secondary spots are filling up. And I know recruiting is fluid and anybody is a candidate to be recruited over. I get that, but if we're kind of penciling in Keyshawn Lawrence for one of those other spots, and I know there's a kid from Texas, Catan Crawford, who they are in love with. You know, they would obviously take two more. Are you going to sign six DBs this year when that's the position on your roster where you already have the most players anyway? I think it's going to be fluid, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out once we get into the season. These guys start taking visits. Tennessee swing for the fences with a couple of guys, and I would be stunned if all the DBs they have committed currently actually end up signing on next year's roster.
No, I agree with that. Now, and I have to ask you this question, and I kind of was wondering this thing last night when I saw this. Tennessee seems to be going, they're very DB-centric right now, where you would think we're trying to go defensive lineman, offensive lineman centric. Like, wouldn't you think Tennessee's got the talent at the secondary and the recruits coming in and the freshmen that are here and the guys that have come in? We're just, you don't see a lot of that. I know Sprague, and I get that part, but.
Well, they're going to sign five offensive linemen. They're going to sign probably four or five defensive linemen as well. Like, they're going to make the numbers work. It is interesting, though, that they're getting all the DBs on the front end here.
Yeah,
it seems. So, you know, maybe you feel, and maybe it's just a situation where that's what comes easiest for Jeremy Pruitt because he's a DB coach.
No, I agree with you on that. And looking at it from that standpoint and what Tennessee is trying to do when it comes to building up a reputation of having guys along that front and what Jeremy Pruitt likes when it comes to a defensive line, especially secondary of the jack position. So, interesting.
Well, and the other theme here is Derek Ansley. I think all these, when you read interviews with these recruits, they all mention him as somebody they really like. And with Pruitt overseeing him, I think they feel like they're getting some solid development there. We need to take a break here in just a second. We've got Aaron Torres coming up here in just a moment on the show. First, though, Bear, are we ready? I need it.
Oh, you want it now?
I need it.
Okay.
Let's
here we go
to Bears U.S. Open leaderboard, scoreboard, update, center. Slight delay.
Sounds like a TV delay.
I'm going to mute both of you guys if you crap all over this. Be quiet.
If we crap all over it?
Yeah, you heard me. All right. Pebble Beach, California, Russell.
Yes.
Sitting atop the leaderboard is Ricky Fowler at 5 under.
Really?
Yes. In second, tied for second, we have Scott Piercy and Terrell Halton. In fourth, tied, we've got Sepp Straka and looks like Emiliano Grillo.
Are you making these names up?
No, I'm not.
Wait, who was that last one?
Emiliano Grillo.
Where's he from?
I would imagine Italia.
North Dakota.
He's an Italian.
Greater Vestal.
I imagine that Sepp is from somewhere in the former Eastern Bloc. Got Mark Leishman tied with him at fourth, along with Rory McIlroy and a couple other guys. Louis Oosthuizen is at -3, also tied for fourth. So we got Bryson DeChambeau.
Very good.
That was good.
You almost got Oosthuizen and
whatever.
You nailed DeChambeau.
Martin Kamer is at -2. John Rahm at -2. Let's see if I can find any notables for you. Tommy Fleetwood's at -1. Sergio -1. Oh, I got to try this one. Thorbjørn Olesen.
Olesen.
Erik van Rooyen. I mean, is this like the world's strongest man competition?
You're not even giving out scores now. You're just having fun pronouncing names.
Lefties at even. These guys are all tied at even. Every name I've mentioned, they're all tied for 29th.
How's Mr. Woods doing?
He doesn't tee off for another hour or two.
Yeah. And
get some evening
that's
golf.
That's the best part about being
at Pebble Beach.
The Pebble Beach U.S. Open.
I will crack open a couple of cold beers and watch that
golf
tonight.
Three good pulls off the jar Sunday night. Kick back.
Night golf.
That was really good, Bear.
And watch a thank you, Trey. And watch a bunch of rich dudes hit a little ball around.
Yep. I mean, it doesn't get more American than that.
God bless it.
Bunch of rich guys.
Father's Day.
With unpronounceable names.
Making
Father's Day. Yep.
Yeah.
Father's Day weekend.
Coming up Sunday.
Making side
you
bets.
You can celebrate
make
both.
More than we make in a year.
Yeah. The second place guy is going to make like $800,000.
Yeah, to watch Dustin Johnson, even if he finishes in the 100th, he's still taking Paulina.
All right, a lot to get to here this afternoon. Folks, we will be at Jets Pizza next week on Tuesday. Come on out and see us, Jets Pizza in Farragut, right next to the Shrimp Dock on Kingston Pike, home of the best happy hour in town daily, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., featuring $2 and $3 pints. Yes, $2 and $3 pints every day from 11 to 7 at Jets Pizza in Farragut. They're also the home of Detroit-style deep dish pizza. It's delicious. We have it every time we go out there. Make plans now to come out and see us on Tuesday. We'll also have some Smokies tickets. Smokies will be in town next weekend.
In nine-inning vacation.
We'll have those to give away and some free backyard burgers for you as well. Aaron Torres coming up next right here on The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. Friend of the show, Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio, joining us right now. Aaron, good afternoon, sir.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Hey, we're doing well. How are things out on the left coast with the U.S. Open in town and NBA Finals tonight? It's kind of the epicenter of the sports universe.
Well, you know, it's actually really funny that you phrased it exactly the way you did, Russ. Very good news, very exciting news. I'm actually going to the U.S. Open tomorrow. I will be at Pebble Beach. The bad news is not exactly in town. I got the tickets through our mutual friends at Fox. You know, we are all under the same umbrella here. And, you know, I signed up. I said, yeah, I want to go. Pebble Beach is 5 hours from where I live. I had no idea. So
I don't know where where is Pebble Beach? I know it's in California. It's on the beach, right? Where's Pebble Beach?
Russell?
Yeah, there's a beach 45 minutes from my house. I thought I was going there. It's 5 hours away.
Now, Aaron, I've really got to stop you here, man. You got credentialed for the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, something that most people dream of. And
I mean, exactly.
You're going to have to.
And that's exactly it, Bear. You know, as I just – there was no – you know, once I saw it on the map, it was just, okay, how early am I waking up to make this happen? So it isn't actually a credential. It, you know, I'm not covering it. I'm just going as a fan. So I'm going to be sitting there. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be hearing me yell, get in the hole after every tee shot tomorrow.
Mashed potatoes.
What's that?
That's what they say, mashed potatoes. That's what you yell. That's what us seasoned golf followers yell whenever a big drive gets hit, Aaron.
Okay, okay. Well, then you'll hear me yelling that too. But no, you guys are right. You know, listen, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but it is funny that Russ said, hey, yeah, it's right in your backyard. And I literally thought the same thing. I thought it was like an hour and a half away. It's 5 hours, but you know what? You only live once, going to make the most of it, but I will, in fact, be there tomorrow.
Where is it? Is it NoCal or?
It's in actual Pebble Beach, so I guess Pebble Beach is a town. It's closer to, it's in NorCal. It's like closer to, I want to say like Berkeley, San Francisco area, but it's not even close to that actually, because I have a buddy who lives in Sacramento, and he was supposed to come with me. He had to bail, so I'm going with another buddy. But hold on, I'll look it up for you right now.
Oh, yeah, please.
Because I was amazed, because I was like, oh, he'll meet me down there. But no, it's about 2 hours from San Francisco, 5 hours from L.A., so smack dab in the middle. I guess the closest kind of major city is San Jose. That looks like it's about an hour and 15 from there. But, dude, I'm really, honestly, I am really excited. I've never been to a golf major. I've been to golf tournaments before, but, you know, it's that time of year where you venture out, you try new things, you know, because come, Labor Day weekend, the whole world stops moving and you just got to focus on whatever. So I'm actually pretty excited to go up there tomorrow.
Indeed. Aaron, before we talk some football with you, I wanted to get your take on the basketball news yesterday. Pretty interesting developments, as we have an NCAA official now on record saying, yes, we're going to do something about this. There are at least six, possibly more NCAA programs under investigation. We know Kansas is one of those, so it's not just Little Sisters of the Poor. Who do you think should be most worried today?
Well, I'll be honest. Like, I don't know that anyone should be, like, mortified, because these investigators have been on all of these campuses, and, you know, Dennis Dodd, you know, crushed it with that report. But, like, the NCAA has been on all these campuses, and so these schools are probably aware of, you know, the fact that this was probably coming. I think the big question to me is, what did they actually find? Because maybe I'm totally optimistic on this. I think, first of all, Russ, you're right. The NCAA, obviously, Kansas is involved. I'll be very curious. They played in a player that was deemed to have taken money in the 2018 season, and they made the Final Four. So, like, I do think Kansas is going to have to remove a Final Four banner at some point because they used an ineligible player. Does that mean that the book's getting thrown at Bill Self and his career is over? I don't think so. And so, to me, that's what's really interesting about this whole scenario is you look at everything. You look at all these millions of dollars of taxpayer money that was spent, and so far it's resulted in one head coach, Rick Pitino, getting fired, and four assistant coaches. And so, and you know, a couple more assistant coaches have kind of gotten wrapped up in it. So six, seven, eight assistant coaches, whatever it is. But it wasn't this wide-ranging thing. And I just find it hard to believe that if the NCAA, if the FBI couldn't find stuff on these programs, that the NCAA couldn't. So I don't know. I know it's easy to say, oh, you know, this is going to result in all these head coaches losing their jobs and all that stuff. Like, I just don't know if that's the case. I think whatever we found in court has come, you know, is going to be used against schools, but I don't know how much else you can really find. That's the fascinating thing to me. And if that happens, then I don't think any assistant or any head coaches lose their job. And I think we're looking at maybe a tournament ban for a year, maybe a loss of scholarships. But again, to go back to what we've been talking about for 2 years now, this big sweeping, you know, cleanse of college basketball, like, I just don't think it's happening.
Do you think, Aaron, do you think it's something where the fact that the NCAA, according to Dennis Dodd, thinks they have cases against six schools, probably going to be a lot more maybe later in the summer, is this something where you had defense attorneys or even prosecutors given information over the NCAA? Because we heard from people like Dan Wetzel, the guys that were covering the trial, that there wasn't anybody from the NCAA or, you know, enforcement staff or schools that were in court during this. So they're having to get this information from somewhere concerning these schools, and they don't have subpoena power. So what's the likelihood of this stuff coming down from the case?
I mean, it's a great point, Trey, and it's possible. And I would ask a legal expert if there's any kind of legal or ethical. I mean, certainly there's ethical, but are there legal violations to doing that? Because I just look at it and I think based on what we know in the FBI trials is enough to punish these schools, right? I mean, Arizona had an assistant coach admit in court, he's a felon now, that he arranged a bribery, a payment for a high school recruit. That's an NCAA violation, even if the money never got to the recruit. Same with USC, obviously, certainly the same with Auburn. I think there are NCAA violations that are already on the record. I guess my question is kind of what I just said a minute ago is what is showing up at, you know, Arizona or Auburn going to uncover? And I would also add this, Trey, is you look across college basketball, I think if Auburn really thought they were in trouble, I do think they would have gotten rid of Bruce Pearl. I know you have to have indisputable evidence, but if these, you know, investigations revealed something that made it super obvious that Bruce Pearl was culpable in all this stuff, then I think he'd be gone. Will Wade, I know everyone wants to go after Will Wade, but LSU cleared Javonte Smart, the player that was named in that Yahoo report. So to me, I feel like there's a lot of, I feel like it's going to be another one where there's a lot of smoke. I don't think there's going to be much fire. I just think that what we know is what we know. And I just find it hard to believe that if the FBI couldn't uncover stuff, that the NCAA is going to be able to do anything even when they're on campus.
Aaron, last question when it comes to basketball. You know that the top 100 camp from Nike that's going on in Virginia right now?
Of course, yeah.
So my question is, they gave coaches a 24-hour period for viewing, I'm reading reports starting at 2 o'clock today to 2 o'clock tomorrow. But where does this fit in, and how much does this hurt, you know, guys that aren't in, let's say, the top 100 or invited to these events? I mean, that's got to be something where, you know, the NCAA allows them to go watch these kids, and all the reports coming out of it's pretty much just a horrible showcase gone wrong. Where does it hurt the other kids out there that these, you know, the coaches aren't allowed to go take a look at and visit, you know, maybe during a time period that the NCAA allows Nike to have at it?
Yeah, it's really stupid. Honestly, it really is. I actually honestly had Seth Greenberg on my podcast today, the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast, and it wasn't intended to just spend, 15 minutes crushing the new NCAA recruiting calendar, but that's exactly what ended up happening, Trey, is, look, when all this FBI stuff happened, there was this notion that, we have to get back the recruiting from these shoe companies. And it's the problem is, first of all, shoe companies run events, and I'm not kidding when I say this, and a lot of the people who have kids might know this, is from 9-10 years old up, Under Armour will slap their logo on something and it'll be an Under Armour event. So it's not just the top 100 or 500 or only the players that are good enough to play college basketball. There's thousands of kids across the country. And so, I don't think the NCAA fully realized that. And so when you talk about an event like this weekend, Trey, it actually makes absolutely no sense at all, because as you alluded to, it's only the top 100 kids. We all know who those kids are. I can name them. I can name 20 kids that are there, and they're all being recruited by the same schools. It's not like Kentucky or Duke needs to go to this event to find who the 15 best players in America are. They've known who these kids are since they're freshmen or sophomores in high school. And so what it actually ends up doing is not only does it not help kids, the kids that are there are already known. It does nothing to help them to be there. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of kids have actually skipped that event. But it also, in some ways, hurts, because the kids that do need to be in front of college coaches can't be, because the kid you know, I don't know. I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but the kid that you know, plays varsity ball in Knoxville but doesn't play AAU, or maybe he only plays AAU one or two weekends a year, he's not getting invited to that camp. And, you know, it makes no sense for an East Tennessee State or a Central Connecticut State or a Cal Poly to go to this event because they're not recruiting any of those players. And oh, by the way, like you said, Trey, the basketball isn't good. The coaches don't want to be there. It's another weekend or another day or so, day and a half that they have to be away from their families during the off season. It's just a total disaster. And this whole new recruiting calendar that came out of this FBI thing, it's caused nothing but headaches. It hasn't helped anybody. It's just a truly, truly bizarre thing.
You know, the thing that irritates me more about this camp is the fact that for some reason, like, Virginia just gets to host it every year. Like, and Tennessee, Rick Barnes right now, the number one, well, one of the top recruits for the 2020 cycle is a kid from the mid-state here in Tennessee, Keon Johnson. He's a top 30 type player, probably should be ranked a little bit higher than that. And guess who Tennessee's chief competition is for Keon Johnson? Virginia.
UCLA. I'm kidding.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's Virginia.
It's like it's almost like an added official visit for the Cavaliers, but anyway, that's
just stupid. It makes no sense. This camp, I don't even know why it originated, but it is obviously for the top players. Last year, they opened it to NBA scouts to just kind of get a baseline to who these kids are and all that stuff. And like that, I have no problem with. Get all the best players in the country together. These guys all, at least right now, at 16, 17 years old, are on an NBA trajectory. Let the NBA get a baseline for who they are, what they're capable of, whatever. But to then open it to college coaches, and like I'm telling you, I've talked to college coaches. They don't want to be there. It does nothing to help them. And as we said a minute ago, well, maybe it helps Virginia. But everyone else besides Virginia, I don't really know that it helps.
Aaron, last thing, we'll let you run here. This is a very important question. It's sparked a lot of debate around the Fan Run studios this week.
Okay.
Is it ever acceptable to eat, we mentioned mashed potatoes earlier.
Yeah.
Can you eat mashed potatoes with a fork?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be able to?
Some people say, particularly if there's gravy involved, a spoon is necessary.
Yeah. The gravy is an added element. No, I mean, because here's the problem. Like, mashed potatoes aren't a standalone item. And so I know you obviously wouldn't eat it in an office like this, but I mean, like, if you go to a restaurant and you get, like, salmon and mashed potatoes or whatever, fill-in-the-blank protein, like, I'm not sitting there like I'm 6 years old eating salmon with a spoon. Like, I'm eating it like with a fork like a grown adult. And so, I'm not switching. Yeah, I don't have time to switch between utensils, between bites. So to me, it's almost a no-brainer. Like, yeah, if it's 12 and, you know, if it's 2 in the afternoon, I want a quick snack and I want to heat up last night's leftovers, that's one thing. But if it's part of a meal, I almost think it's counterintuitive to eat with a spoon. I actually don't really understand the argument against it, I guess, unless you have gravy.
I think you just knocked it out of the park. That is some stellar analysis right there.
No, that's why he gets
complete
paid
waste
big
of time.
He knows it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's why you guys bring me on the hard hitting stuff.
And the fact that you're getting married soon, so you know we're just trying to prepare
like 3
you.
3 weeks.
Yeah. 3 weeks. Oh.
Yeah, July 5th. What are you guys gonna get me as a gift?
I don't know. We just got the invitation.
We got
the invitation.
We'll give you a hearty welcome to the kids' table.
The kids' table? What? Yeah. You guys are confused. Here's the bottom line. Yeah, I'm getting married in like 3 weeks. It's coming up really fast, kind of crazy, really kind of only focused on Pebble Beach right now, much to the chagrin of my fiance. She's not very happy about that. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. Okay.
You're good, man. You're living the dream, buddy. That's the main thing that matters.
I had one of those days yesterday where she was mad at me all day. I wasn't really sure why. I never really got closure on that one, but it's okay. You know, we just live to fight another day. Live to fight another day. You know how it goes.
It's probably because you said you were driving 5.5 hours to Pebble Beach.
When it was an hour and a half away and I'd be home for dinner, it was one thing. When I was leaving at 3 a.m. or whatever I'm going to end up doing tomorrow and coming back after midnight, that was a different ball game altogether. But, you know, if she just articulated it to me like that, Trey, we could have worked through it, but whatever. You know, you win some, you lose more, life goes on, whatever.
Communication is the key. Aaron, thanks a lot, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Be good, brother.
Aaron Torres at Aaron underscore Torres on Twitter, making his presence felt. I never even thought about that. Like, I had no idea where Pebble Beach is. Did you guys?
I just thought it was in California. That's about it.
It's in the Monterey Carmel area.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything to me. No, I just figured it was near L.A.
It's like one of the most beautiful places on the planet.
Okay. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. We're back with more right after this.
This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. We credit Trey Wallace, Twitter follower Patrick Simpson, for the mashed potatoes thing.
Yeah.
It's a big debate here. Do you eat mashed potatoes with a fork or a spoon? Fair?
I've probably used both. I don't think this is nearly as scalding hot the debate as pancakes or waffles.
You use whatever is available, right? Use whatever's handy.
Aaron, there's a lot of truth in what Aaron said.
If I'm at a restaurant and I've got a fork and knife, I'm just using the fork and knife. I'm not going out of my way to use a spoon, although that probably is the better utensil for the job.
Not necessarily. Now that you mention it, I'm thinking back. I never use a spoon. It's always a fork. And then you get that edge of the fork when you get down, you've eaten all your mashed potato, and you need one more little taste of it. And you use the edge of that fork and you scrape the
If you have a lot of gravy for that last bite, here's where the spoon comes in handy.
I'm not a gravy on mashed potatoes guy, number one.
What about a spork?
Whoa, wait a minute. What are you, you're just eating the mashed potatoes by themselves? With no gravy?
Sometimes
they're
good
enough.
Yeah,
because the way I make mashed potatoes, my mashed potatoes don't need gravy.
Just plain mashed potatoes.
Yeah, man. It's like adding, butter, neon lights to a Ferrari. Yeah.
I do that with my mom's.
Yeah, I promise. Don't need to make you my mashed potatoes. I'll make you some mashed potatoes. It'll knock your socks off, my friend.
Now, are we talking about this, like are they chunks with, the skin in and stuff like that?
No.
Because that can be good. Maybe a little garlic or something like that.
I'll make you some mashed potatoes, okay?
Just like kind of creamy, smooth
mashed potatoes. You don't have to do anything.
No, man. I want gravy.
Fork, you don't need gravy. If you're using gravy on your mashed potatoes, there's a problem with your mashed potatoes.
No, that is not true.
Yes, 100% true.
That's not true.
Stop screaming at me.
I'm not screaming.
Okay.
But I'm passionate about this because you've had Mark Rickard's gravy at Rickard Ridge Barbecue, right? Right?
No, I just
you
eat
haven't.
His, no,
you haven't had the gravy at
his.
Because you haven't been to our. To our Christmas.
Let me tell you something. I'm glad that it's there for you, gravyites like you. But Mark Rickard's smoked turkey and smoked chicken that I've eaten.
Yeah, it's
anything
fine by
any meat. I don't need gravy.
But I'm telling you, you haven't had gravy until you've had Rickard Ridge gravy. And
I'm sure he makes an incredible one.
If I have a side of his gravy and I have mashed potatoes, I don't care how good the mashed potatoes are. I don't care if Wolfgang Puck himself made them. I'm putting that gravy on the mashed potatoes. I'm
making a hard stance on this.
And actually, at that point, if the gravy's good enough, which in this case it is, the mashed potatoes are actually there to help the gravy, not the other way around. So if I get down to the end of the portion of mashed potatoes, and I've got some of that gravy left, a fork, while capable of getting the job done, you can do a better job with a spoon. If a spoon is there, if a spoon is an option, I will use the spoon to get the rest of that precious gravy.
That's why you mix up the potatoes and the gravy.
That near dilettante, a blue collar guy like me just take a roll and just smash it into everything.
Old Charlie's roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sop up the gravy. You familiar with that term, sopping up?
Just sop it up.
Yes.
Cornbread.
Yes, I'm familiar with the word sop. Okay. The verb to sop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't act like I started this. You're the one that raised your voice at me again.
You got anger management issues. To each their own.
I mean, you're acting kind of wild here.
Yeah, okay. I still am blown away, and I know it's top of the hour, and we don't usually talk about this stuff, but I can't get over her going back to Italy. Russ, I'm sorry. I feel like
still
people
stuck on that.
I feel like people out there know the case.
We'll have an update on the docket.
Yeah,
Amanda Knox,
need to.
the girl who spent 4 years in an Italian prison for a murder she did not commit, and finally got back to the United States for it's been like 10 years ago that she finally came back. She's headed back to Italy for some sort of speaking engagement.
Oh, she's there. I see her in the airport right now.
Why, if after you went through all that? That nightmare, and you finally, like, I remember when she finally got home, and then, like, she was reconvicted and absentee.
Yeah.
And like, Italy wanted us to extradite her and all this, and she was, like, going to flee to Canada, and all this crazy stuff was going on. Why would you ever go anywhere that isn't the United States of America, let alone the place that started your own descent into hell over 10 years ago?
I can't figure it out. It's the craziest thing in the world. My mind's blown right now. My mind is literally blown that she went back to Italy. I wouldn't go anywhere near it. I wouldn't go to any countries next to it. I wouldn't even travel outside the country. I might go to Mexico. That'd be about it.
Damn, Mexico's the last place I'd ever go right now.
Well, if I got off on a murder conviction in Italy, I'm not going anywhere in Europe.
I would just sit there in Seattle or wherever she's
drink
from.
Drink coffee and
celebrate my freedom and independence.
Write
be kind of angsty.
Go to the grocery store once a year, maybe become a fan of the Mariners or the Seahawks or whoever she's out there. Yeah, write the great American novel, read a little bit.
Whoa.
Just
you're
going to
write
whatever.
The great American novel?
If I'm her and I had an interesting story to tell, yeah.
Have you ever thought about writing a novel?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About what?
I don't know. That's why I can't do it.
Maybe like the Michael Scott novel?
Yeah.
A business practice?
I couldn't write a short story, let alone a novel.
Yeah, you'd be a little hard on yourself now. I've read some of your stuff.
Safe.
You're funny. I mean, you're no Dan Jenkins.
Funny looking. Who the hell is Dan Jenkins?
You know who Dan Jenkins is?
The sports writer?
Yeah.
Oh.
He also wrote a bunch of novels. He wrote Semi-Tough. They made the movie out of it in the 70s.
You mean with Will Ferrell?
No.
That sounds semi-good.
That was pretty good, man.
865-546-8200. It's your Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Two-parter here, mashed potato edition. A, do you eat mashed potatoes with a fork or a spoon? And B, do mashed potatoes need gravy?
Nope.
865-546-8200.
Nope.
Parker Pewitt is here. He's got your top four at four. Coming up next, we'll get you updated on a couple of things that are happening right now in your world of sports. Stay with us. Quick timeout. The drive continues next, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.